This is a lecture which will deal with the development of music in Amsterdam from, I would say, the 17th century to the early 20th century. And there are some developments in the reform movement, which is a community that was established later in the 20th century, that we do not have enough evidence, and we need to do more research on it. It's on the liberal Gemeinde, Gemeinde, we do not have enough evidence to just tell you one little thing, which I want to preserve for next time, to tell you about this composer. There was a Chazan, and the last Chazan, apparently, in the liberal Jewish community before the war. His name was Haiman. And he left us a book, which I was able to see in the Rosenthaliana, a book of cantorial music that he wrote. And he compiled that book in 1943-44. And 1943-44, you can imagine what went on. And yet he did that. He compiled this book. It's a volume beautifully bound in blue. And it has very interesting compositions, but unfortunately not yet researched and looked into and so on. What I hope next time is to bring you some compositions from there, and perhaps we'll learn one of them so that we have a memory of this canto, the last canto before the war of the liberal Jewish community. Another thing that needs to be done: there is lots of evidence in various places, among them in the book about the liberal Jewish community, which was edited by Chaya Rath. It is a very interesting source. I talked to her about that, and we want to cooperate and try to find out more about the music in the liberal community. So I go back to the 17th century now. I'm going to talk about the development of the Jewish communities in Amsterdam. Now it is kind of a little bit, how should I say, paradoxical that I should talk to you about the music that you have here. And I don't want to belabor things like the evidence that we have about the development of the Jewish communities in Amsterdam. And this is for two reasons. Number one, we don't have the time for it. Number two, I am not qualified to go into all the details about what happened in Amsterdam. But we know very basic things, which are very, very important, that there were two Jewish communities in the 16th century, from the very, in the 17th century, I'm sorry, from the very, very beginning. In other words, usually people tend to think that the Portuguese were here first and the Ashkenazi community, which came from Germany, was later. That was not exactly so. We already have an Ashkenazi community in 1635. Already an Ashkenazi community, a synagogue in a private home with a chazan. And just as the Portuguese community formulated itself at that very particular time, we already had an Ashkenazi community. Now, of course, these two communities were separate. The Portuguese always thought that they were superior in culture and many other things, over the Ashkenazi. There are all sorts of prohibition of against dealing with Ashkenazi people and so on and so forth. I don't want to go into that. But what is important from the musical point of view, that those two communities developed their music separately, and only much later, like say in the 19th century, there began to be some kind of a transfer from one to another, mainly from the Portuguese to the Ashkenazi synagogues. Now the Portuguese community began as a community of Maranos, of Jews who were converted to Christianity out of distress, and came to Holland as people who had very little knowledge about Judaism at all. All they knew was that they were Jewish by descent. They did not know anything about the customs or the prayers, anything. So what they did is that they asked rabbis to come from the outside, from the Sephardi community outside of Holland, mainly from Morocco and from Turkey, to teach them Judaism. And gradually they were able to establish synagogues. They established a number of synagogues which were different kahal. Each synagogue was called kahal, kahal kadosh, and they fought with one another, as you could expect. But finally, towards the middle of the century, middle of the 17th century, they decided to unite and to create a new synagogue. In order to do that, they demolished a few buildings, a few synagogues that they had, and on that, on the basis of that, they established their new Esnocha, the great synagogue that you know is still standing until this very day. It was in times of great prosperous Holland. The community was prosperous. They could bring wood from Brazil and all sorts of things like that. And they wanted it to be the splendor of Judaism. They wanted Amsterdam to be the Jerusalem of Europe, the Jerusalem of the New Jerusalem. And so they also invested very much in music. And this is why it is so important for us. They had some of musicians of their own, and they also imported a musician from Italy, and we'll talk about him in a minute, to enhance the music of the synagogue. When the synagogue was inaugurated in 1675, it was Shabbat Nachamu, the Shabbat after Tisha B'Av, and for that occasion, they asked Rabbi Isaac de Fonseca Abuav to write a text which will be based on Isaiah's prophecies that would be read in the Haftarah of that Shabbat. And that text was set to music by Abraham de Caceres. Abraham de Caceres was a musician that worked for the community. It was a choral piece, and here's how it sounds. Thank you. my desire be stronger every day, because very soon the great light of messianic times will enlighten my way and make my life go through the light of day all the time. Stanza to that? No. What is this Messianic Times doing in 1675? Well, it was Messianic Times. Shabbatai Tzvi was there. The Messiah?
1672 was the absolute year of disaster in Holland.
But for them,
the time of the Messiah
to come, and the Messiah was, and that is not said in any place here, but you can get some hints. Apparently, they believed in Shabbatai Tzvi, who would come and be Messiah. I don't know if you know the story of Shabbatai Tzvi. He was a kind of a false prophet, a false Messiah. But Amsterdam was a great center of the worship of Shabbatai Tzvi. And although he is not mentioned here, it is quite clear that that is how it was understood at that time. But in any case, the idea was that the synagogue has to have glorious music with instrument and so on. Of course, the instruments could not be played on Shabbat, and so they had special celebrations on Motzei Shabbat, on very important Shabbatot, or on very important occasions for the community. So here's another piece, this time by a composer who was really Christian, was commissioned to write pieces for the community. And his name is Giovanni Cristiano Lidarti. So Lidarti was commissioned to write various pieces for various services, but also for various celebrations with instruments. So here is a piece by him, which is Kol HaNishamat Hallelujah, just one verse, and we won't hear the entire thing, it's a big cantata, for soprano and musical instruments. At that time, people either sang falsetto, or perhaps it was a boy who sang that very difficult part. There is an instrumental prelude. Which was very fashionable at that time. I know that some, I hear that some of you know it. Oh. It's very long, and we don't have time to listen to all of it, but it's a very beautiful line, and I... Yeah. And I recommend every soprano here, it's also good for mezzos, study it. I mean, it's really worthwhile. It's a wonderful piece for a concert. And the music exists, it was published, and so it is possible to do that. After the 18th century, there was some kind of a deterioration. After the end of the 17th, the beginning of the 18th century, they maintained this kind of music, but later there was a deterioration, was less usage of a choir, and the Chazanim sang pieces on their own, sometimes accompanied with a few number of singers. But the repertoire of the Chazanim was quite rich. And I have in my hand a collection of selected tunes of the Chazanim of Amsterdam by David Ricardo. I'll pass it to you. The emphasis of the Chazanim was on the Kaddishim and the Kedushot. Each holiday, each occasion, had to have a different melody for the Kaddish. We also have that kind of thing in our tradition, but it was not as emphasized as the melodies of the Kaddishim and the Kedushot. Each Kedusha, on each occasion, had to be different. So I pass these selected tunes by David Ricardo to you. You can look at it, and in the meanwhile, we're going to listen to a Kaddish like that.
I hold it.
No, it's for Shabbat. A Kaddish for Shabbat. That's the end of a psalm. Yid Gadal. This is taken from Kamti Lehalel, a new set of recording of Chazanut, of Spanish-Portuguese Chazanut, which just appeared in Beit HaTfutzot in Tel Aviv. The arrangements for the choir are reconstructions by a great musician, Raymond Goldstein. These are reconstructions, but the music is written only for the Chazan. Ooh. came to it just a minute. One of the things that they excelled in, the Chazanim of Amsterdam Portuguese community, were the piyutim. Piyutim, the poetry that is inserted in the prayer book, like Adon Olam and El Adon and other piyutim like that. Here is one piyut, we'll hear a part of it, and it is Shachar Avakeshcha Tzuri Umizgabi, that is, at dawn I seek you, my rock, etc. And this is a poem by Shlomo Ibn Gevirol, which is sung on, in Shacharit frequently, on a special occasion although, but quite frequently in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogues. So,
we have it at the Don Olam in the normal Sidur, right at the beginning.
Okay, so can we hear number one?
Track number one.
Track number one, thank you. Of course, the instruments are additions now. The Chazanim sang it without instruments. These piyutim were very much loved, and some of them penetrated the Ashkenazi community, sometimes through the Reform movement. El Nora Alila, which melody do you use?
I
know, but which one is used here?
Depends.
Okay, that's typically Portuguese melody, 18th century kind of creation. These melodies were created in the 17th or mainly 18th century melodies.
This one is a Sardic melody?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Sardic Portuguese.
Ah,
El Norang Nalila, El Norang Nalila, Hamsila Numehila, Bishatan Neila, Neila.
I know another one from
The one that you know is El Nora Alila, El Nora Alila, Hamsela Numehila, Beshatanaila. That is Safari of the East. Safari of the East, that comes from the communities of Syria.
And,
the El Nora Alila, which we use, was brought to us by Harry Herrera, who was Chazan of the LJG in the late 50s and 60s. It's on the small record that he produced. And this one has been taken on the Jubilee record of Levi Yotzkolov, the blue one,
yeah.
Which you can still get. So you hear Javier Herrera, the old Portuguese Chazan. He was Portuguese. And that's the way it came to us.
Yeah. But other melodies from the Sephardic community, of the Spanish-Portuguese community, penetrated the reform movement through Hamburg. The Sephardic community, Portuguese community of Holland expanded, and they had branches. They branched off to Hamburg, to London, and to New York. And the Hamburg synagogue of the Spanish Portuguese was not far from the newly founded Reform synagogue of Hamburg.
And
physically?
Yes.
Geographically, not far from there.
Before the Reform movement came to Amsterdam.
What?
Was that before the Reform came to Amsterdam?
Yes, much before. Much before. That's the early 19th century. Early 19th century. And when that happened, one of the problems that the Reform community of Hamburg was giving its thought to was that the Ashkenazi tradition that they come from, do not have congregational singing. And therefore, they needed to borrow congregational singing from somewhere else, and the easy thing to do was to get it from the Portuguese community of Hamburg. And so what they did is they somehow got the Chazan of the Portuguese community of Hamburg, and they offered him a job. And he brought with him the traditional Portuguese melodies. And so many things went through that, like Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yimloch, Leolam Vaed, which was sung in Hamburg and Berlin and other Reform communities on Yom Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. No. It's not done to it. No. This is American, and it's Ashkenazi, Eastern European, American that was created there. You mean perhaps Avuhu Ladonai Benei Eli? This was taken, this was also borrowed from the Portuguese, but actually this comes not from the Portuguese of Amsterdam, but it comes through the Portuguese of Livorno. Livorno was also one of the branches that the Portuguese created, the Sephardi community created. The Livorno synagogue was very, very much advanced from a progressive point of view. They had an organ, they had a choir, although they were considered traditional. They sang with choir and organ on Shabbat, and one of the creations of later in the 19th century was this Havu Ladonai Benei Elim, Havu Ladonai Kavod Raot, which was accepted in all the Sephardic communities and penetrated also the Ashkenazi communities. So, in the 19th century, and I'm not sure when exactly this needs to be researched, the Sephardi community, Portuguese community, created a choir. The choir was called Santo Servicio, the Holy Service, and it stood at, near the Bima, not on the Bima. You know that the Bima is in the back of the synagogue in the Sephardi community of Amsterdam. And if when you enter the synagogue, on the left side there is a corner there where the Sancto Servicio functioned. And then the Sancto Servicio folded many times and was closed and then regenerated. And they had a repertoire of their own. And one of their most loved things is from the Hallel. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, b'rachnucha mi'beit Adonai, el Adonai v'yael lanu. That is typical Santo Servicio melody. And
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, b'rachnucha. Three quarters, the original.
Okay, but it's the same, this kind of melody that many melodies like that were created. I know that now they're attempting again to recreate the entire repertoire of the Santo Servizio, and I hope that they will be successful. Yeah. So much about the Portuguese. Now we go to the Ashkenazi community, and what do we find out? We find out that they are dependent on chazanim. And each chazan brings with him his tradition and creates it anew in the Amsterdam community. So in order to understand that, I gave you these sheets, which has some have some materials about the Portuguese and the Ashkenazi communities from a musical point of view. In the first part, Sephardi Portuguese Synagogue Music, just a few sources that you can study if you want. There's a very important article by Israel Adler, although it's a bit old, 1974, but it's still very good. It's a small book, a monograph by Israel Adler about the musical life and traditions of the Portuguese community of Amsterdam in the 18th century. And David Ricardo, I showed you, it's circulating now. Then the CDs that I used, Synagogue Music of the Baroque, and then Kamti Lehalel. There is another CD which is also very nice, Chazanut from Amsterdam in Groningen. Okay, so we come to the Ashkenazi Chazanut, and we do not have enough sources to study that. That needs lots of study, and we have to collect sources, and etc. But if you want to get an immediate overlook on the Chazanut of Ashkenazi synagogues, then read H.M. Pollack's Amsterdam's Yotze Eredienst, do I say it right? It's a booklet of about 4 pages, and it has a concise overview of the development of the Ashkenazi Chazanut, and it is appended to Hans Blumenthal and the big two volumes, the big blue volumes, which are called Amsterdam's Chazanut. It is these are very important volumes which contain lots of music by various chazanim, and the introduction there also by Hans Blumenthal in the book is also very, very important. Hans Blumenthal is one of the most knowledgeable people about the development of synagogue music in Amsterdam. So, we are trying to collect sources. We should try to collect sources of Amsterdam Chazanut. I was at the Amsterdam Yotz Museum a few years ago, and I was looking for materials and could find little. Maybe I was not talented enough to find things, but so I compiled the list according to what we have in Jerusalem. And if you look at this list on page 1 and 2, you see that the, I would say that the most prolific composer of synagogue music in Amsterdam seems to be Anton Aaron Wolf Berlin. You see that he 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 books by him, and some books by others. He was not a Chazan. He was a composer. He composed operas and various symphonies, symphonic poems, and so on. He composed about 500 important works, but disappeared. I mean, you don't hear anything about him. Among other things, he wrote for the Jewish community of Amsterdam, for the Ashkenazi synagogues, mainly for Chazan and male choir. That means two tenors and two basses. Part. So he has here Shirei Chag V'Toda, Synagogengesänge für Festtage, etc. And then Gottesdienstige, etc. But I want to point out Gesangen der Kohanim, or Gesangen, or how do you
know?
Gesangen. Thank you. Gesangen der Kohanim. Now, it was a tradition in Ashkenazi synagogues that the Kohanim, when they go up to bless the people of Israel, have various melodies that they sing, and the melodies differ for each holiday. For instance, one of these melodies is there was a special holidays. The Kohanim, they would say, the Chazan would sing to them. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. And when they had to say v'yishmerecha, before that they would sing this melody. V'yishmerecha. So there's a collection of melodies like that, and he arranged them for a two-part choir, and they're very interesting little compositions. Another thing by him is a collection of Lecha Dodi, a collection of about 12 melodies of Lecha Dodi that you can use on various occasions. So he was the most prolific composer, the Lewandowski of Amsterdam. And I don't want to say that every piece that he wrote measures up to every piece that Lewandowski wrote, but still, some of the pieces are very nice. Unfortunately, I don't have any recordings of these pieces to have you here. But now, he is a central figure in the, middle of the 19th century. But before that, there were all sorts of developments in Chazanut of Amsterdam. If you look at the list of Chazanim that I provided here at the end of page 2 and beginning of page 3, you see that the first Chazan started in 1635, very early. And from there on, you have Chazanim, but take a look at where they come from, place of origin. So we do not know much about Anshul Rod, where he comes from. Probably comes from southern Germany. The next Chazan, Eliezer ben Elia Kottenheim, comes from Frankfurt on Main, and the Frankfurter tradition was the tradition that was established in the synagogues, in the Ashkenazi synagogues of Amsterdam. So there was a great influence of this German tradition of Nusach. Then you have Wolf ben Chaim from Hamburg. Hammelburg, sorry, not Hamburg. But then if you look at the next two ones, especially Michael ben Natan, he comes from Lublin. And where is Lublin? No, Poland. Lublin is Poland. And there is an influx of Chazanim from Poland to Amsterdam. There was a Polish community side by side with the German community. I wouldn't say that they always lived in great peace, those two communities, but the influence of the Polish Jews was very, very important. So side by side with melodies that came from the German area, you had melodies that came from Polish area. And the most important Chazan who incorporated such melodies into his repertoire, or invented melodies like that in his repertoire, was Shalom Friede. Shalom Friede is actually he was Shlomo, but they called him Shalom Friede for some reason. He's the last one on this page, on page 2. Shalom Yehuda Levi Friede. He was Chazan in Amsterdam for many years, 1809 to 1854. And he had a tremendous influence, and his melodies are very, very interesting. So, I have arranged some of his melodies in the way I thought they were performed. The performance in the Ashkenazi synagogue was according to the old custom of Chazan, Bas, Zingerl. That means there were three people, we discussed that a long time ago, there were three people singing in the synagogue. One was the Chazan himself. He was accompanied by a soprano, boy, and a bass singer. And together they had a very special kind of music, which I tried to reconstruct according to various documents and so on. And it is quite clear that Shalom Friede sang his music in this setting. So sometimes it was there were three singers, sometimes there were four in that, and I arranged it actually for four parts. So I would like to listen now to, this is a Kaddish for special Friday nights. That was typical, that the singers would have a tone on which the chazan would improvise. And then came after that light tunes. The singers would repeat it. This was for in a concert in the concert Chabal that we did.
It was the festival in June.
Hmm? No, and the this yeah, yeah. So
that was a concert in June.
Yeah, there was a concert in June. Okay, so why did I, you hear the style, and the style is far from being German Jewish. It is more Polish in style. And I tried in my arrangement, I tried to emphasize that, and I have everybody to sing, although the melody doesn't have syllables there. It's only music. And I decided that everybody should sing ay ay ay. And so it really presents this kind of music. I want to hear another piece by Shalom Friede, and this is Ozer Dalim Hoshiana. This is taken from the Hakafot of Simchat Torah. And and you will hear immediately what kind of music it is. And in fact, what is very important about this music from a general historical point of view, not only Amsterdam, is that you hear in it all sorts of Hasidic movements, Hasidic melodic style that we always attributed to the Hasidim. But this is in a very early age, perhaps even pre-Hasidic kind of music, or perhaps on the very this kind of influence came from the very very early Hasidim to Amsterdam, no less. So let's hear the Ozer Dalim. This is a traditional melody for the Hakafot. And that's the task of the Chazan. now comes the Hasidic tune. Imagine the occasion. It is the Torah procession of the Akafot, and people are singing this melody. I'm not sure the congregation could sing it, but the choir and the Chazan sang it. Again, the same melody. Okay, we can stop here. This music develops side by side with the German music, and Amsterdam had a special style in the Ashkenazi communities, which was this kind of mixture between the two different styles, and that went on to the 19th century. To the end of the 19th century. In towards the end of the 19th century, other congregations had also musically talented chazanim that created various kinds of compositions, usually in a mixed style. And one of the important composers was Yehuda Flesauer, Fleshauer, from Groningen. He left us a book. Actually was edited by somebody else after his death, but it's still in manuscript, and the Hebrew University intends to publish it in a year or so, of Chazanut pieces written only for Chazan, but with hints where the choir should be singing. And from his book I want you to listen to Kvodo Malei Olam from the Kedusha, from Naritzcha. Western kind of tradition, kind of style of Lewandowski, or even later. Sentimental kind of melody. very similar to Eastern European style. Again, this sentimental tunes with a little bit of Hasidic touch to them. Now, the Ashkenazi synagogues had this kind of style developed, and they had specific pieces which were considered the Amsterdam, typical Amsterdam Chazanut. And one of the pieces which was very famous in the end of the 19th century and beginning of the 20th century was a kiddush, a Friday night kiddush, which was even published in the Jewish encyclopedia that was published in Germany at the beginning of the 20th century as the typical Amsterdam Chazanut. We'll hear part of it.
The encyclopedia is freely available on the internet. Just Google Jewish encyclopedia, you can find it, you can look it up there.
Yeah. It's a number two, I'm sorry.
It's the old encyclopedia, 1903. It's still very good.
No. Oh, no composer. We don't know who composed it. It was attributed to a Chazan by the name of Katz. No, this is not it. No, I'm sorry. Number three. It's in fact, very in a way similar to Lewandowski.
Yeah.
there is a mistake in the text. Should be Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim. But I left it deliberately. This is the way it was published, perhaps performed in those days. In pre-war Amsterdam, the choir and chazanim of the great Ashkenazi synagogue were very, very famous. And not only Amsterdam, but in various other places. There is a collection called Mokom of Beit HaTfutzot, and it has original recordings of cantors of the Ashkenazi synagogue before the war. And I would like just to you hear a part of a Adonai Malach for Friday night, the way it was performed by the music is by Victor Schlesinger, who was a very successful cantor in Amsterdam, and because he was so successful in Amsterdam, they couldn't afford him anymore, and he moved to Manchester, England, where he was paid much more. This is a male choir. Of course, you couldn't have a mixer choir. And the recordings are a little bit muffled because it's very old recording. Yeah, Victor Schlesinger. Choral setting that existed then at that time. So, just to summarize everything, we had in Amsterdam there were two different, quite distinct traditions, sometimes crossing each other, but not very frequently. And that is the Spanish Portuguese on the one hand, and the Ashkenazi community. The Spanish Portuguese music is Sephardi music, but in a very special kind of way. It is very much influenced by the Enlightenment style of the 18th century, the classical style by Mozart, by this kind of music, the Rococo and late Baroque Rococo and early 19th century general style of music, but still retains old piyutim melodies of the Sephardic tradition. The Ashkenazi music was influenced by the fact that the Ashkenazi community was made of two communities, the German and the Polish, and you had the German style of prayer in the Nusach, but you have Polish melodies added to it, and that kind of merger was very typical and very unique to the Amsterdam style, and therefore in Amsterdam we preserve some of the oldest strata of Eastern European synagogue music, perhaps the oldest strata of the Hasidic music as well. As to the Reform movement, maybe we'll have some more next time.